Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you for your word. Your word says that the earth will be full with the knowledge of God's glory as the water covers the sea. So Lord, we give you an invitation right now. We say, invade the earth.
Oh, son of the Lord.
Invade the earth. Revival. We declare that Afghanistan will be saved.
Oh!
We declare in the Middle East, oh God, Indonesia will be saved.
Oh!
Revival in China.
Oh!
Revival in Pakistan. Revival in Indonesia.
Oh
God, at 10:40 window, we cry out, oh God, for an outpouring of your spirit in the name of Jesus. We declare the dominion mandate, oh God. We give you an invitation for a visitation. Oh God, let the ministry of the apostle come forth. Let the ministry of the prophet come forth. Let the ministry of the evangelist come forth. Let the ministry of God, of the intercessors, come forth. Oh God, we declare right now a highway between the heavens and the earth, and that the angel of the Lord, the warrior, is being released right now. By the force of hell will be released. We say revival. Demonstration of signs and wonders. Let the blind man see. Let the deaf man hear. Let the lame walk. And let the dead be raised from the dead. And right now we declare an outpouring of visitation with signs and wonders and miracles. And we declare a tangible manifestation of God's glory from the north to the south, from the east to the west.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless everyone that's just joined us this afternoon. We praise God for you. Amen. I'm your host, Apostle L.A. Hill, all the way from Hammond, Indiana. We thank God for you today. Amen. We're certainly excited about what God is getting ready to do today. I tell you, I've been anticipating today's show. The Lord has released me to really minister in several areas on today, and I truly thank God for his loving kindness. I thank God for he dying on the cross for our sins. That's the most important thing. My God, I tell you, if the Lord had not died for us, amen, if he had not shed his precious blood for us, amen, we would be lost today, God. And I tell you, I'm so excited that the Lord decided to choose me as an individual to be a vessel here in the earth. Amen. And I thank God that I'm having the opportunity to be able to come before you by international internet radio and be able to share the word of God on today. Amen. And be able to also preach the kingdom of God and confirm it with signs, wonders, and miracles following. Praise God. Certainly excited. God is good. Amen. We thank God for those that are joining us on the call today. Amen. And those that are down in the chat room, we thank God for you. Amen. And those that are going to be listening later on in the archive, we thank God for you as well. Praise God. We had such an awesome time on last week. Amen. We talked about, we began our series on the resurrection of the dead, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. And we talked about after death, then what? After death, then what? Amen. So today, we're going to continue. We're going to continue piggybacking off of last week's lesson. And I tell you, probably for the next month or so, we're going to spend some time with this particular doctrine as it pertains to the kingdom of God and really enlighten God's people in this area. There are so many believers that really don't understand life after death. And a lot of us have been taught things that we're going to be going on to our sweet by and by, and we'll be like we'll earn our wings, so to speak, as the angels do, amen, and we'll float on a cloud and play harps for eternity. My God. But we thank God for clarity in the word of the Lord, amen, and we're going to continue to press forward in the teaching on today as the Lord will lead us, and allow him to minister to our hearts through the word of God as he enlightens us on today. Amen. I tell you, I thank God. Amen. If this is your first time listening to Kingdom Voices, amen, I tell you, you're in for a treat. We've been with Blog Talk Radio now since September 2007. I tell you, that's an awesome place to praise him. And we thank God because we've had an opportunity to minister to thousands. You know, I was just looking at the stats on yesterday, and I haven't looked at the stats in a while, and we've had probably close to, I'm not sure, maybe 20,000 plus listeners within that time, which is not bad for internet radio. I'm pretty sure there are others that may have had more, amen, but it's an honor to know that there are people that are coming by and being blessed by the word of the Lord. By way of us ministering the word of God in the earth, and those that have linked up with our ministry all across the country and even overseas, we thank God for you. And make us truly, Blog Talk Radio was our beginning. And from there, it's just like God just kind of catapulted us into the global arena. And so far, our ministry has been blessed. And we thank God for the administrators and those that have anything to do with Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Even for many of the supporters that also have Blog Talk programs that come by and listen, we thank God for you as well. Amen. For your support. Amen. And especially, number one, for your love. We thank God for you. Truly, we wouldn't be where we're at if it wasn't for the listeners and if it wasn't for those that blessed us over the year and a half or so. And we thank God for you. Amen. Amen. So today, we're going to get into the second part of the resurrection of the dead. Amen. I just want to go ahead and share that scripture one more time because it's important that we grab hold to any foundational revelation that the Lord ministers in his word. I believe it's equally important for us in our walk with Christ, in our maturity in the word of God, and where the Lord has taken us. Amen. It's over in Hebrews chapter 6. The Bible begins to declare, and verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore leaving, I love that word right there, leaving. It says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. You know, what's awesome about these passages of Scripture is that whoever the author was, and so oftentimes I say it was more than likely it was Peter, amen. But what I love the most about the way that he ministers these particular Scriptures, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine, which means that we're not going to exclude them or we're not going to X them out of our walk with Christ. We're not going to forget them, but we want to leave them. We want to come away from this because truly this is milk, and we want to come away from the milk, and we want to chew on a little meat from time to time. And we want to come away from the stuff that's been taught in such an extreme way where it's been pounded in our hearts. We want to leave this principle, and we want to come to the conclusion that now God has given us the foundational instructions. We're able to graduate and move on to meet. But he says in verse 3, he says, and this will we do if God permit. I tell you the truth today that I don't believe that God has permitted the 2000 or the 21st century church to move away from any foundational principles that govern the kingdom. Reason being, because like we said on last week, we've become a church that has been tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. You know, it behooves me that we have so many leaders, we have so many teachers, we have so many apostles and prophets, we have way too many bishops, and so many different people that are out there that are instructing individuals in the Word of God, and half of them are not living it, and then the other half are just teaching some far-fetched revelation that don't even really line up with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul told the Apostle Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. It's necessary that you rightly divide the word of truth. And there are so many different teachers out there that are much more concerned about scratching the ears of the believer. You know, Paul also warned Timothy about how there would be some that would have itchy ears. And so because of that, we have leaders that don't mind scratching those itchy ears, and they'll preach and they'll teach anything that they want to hear in order to get a nice offering. And God is not pleased with that. And I tell you, I believe that the Lord is moving us into a direction right now that's going to cause us to begin to either be judged in the body of Christ, or we're going to have to line up with his will and begin to submit to the purpose and the plan of God that he has designed for us as a 21st century church. It's necessary that we get back on one accord with our Father in heaven, that we allow that pipeline that runs between heaven and earth to connect with us once again so we can receive from God and not be so busy receiving from man. You know, we got enough preachers out there that can tune up and draw a crowd and make folks dance and run around church, and then we got enough that can elaborate as theologians, and they can explain the word in such a way that it gives you the history behind it. It tells you the apologetics and the hermeneutics and everything else that concerns it, but we don't have enough leaders that carry the anointing of God. And the Bible says the anointing destroys yokes. And we need some anointed leaders that carry the weight that carry the power of God, that know how to destroy yokes. Glory to God. So that's what I'm excited about. I tell you, God is good. And we trust that the Lord will bless you on today. Amen. I feel led in my spirit to move in the prophetic a little later, and certainly that's what we're going to do after the teaching. Amen. And I want to pray for some of you on today. We want to believe God for many of you and some situations that's going on in your own personal life. Amen. As God begins to reveal the word of knowledge. Amen. And I tell you, I thank God because the Lord is good. Amen. And he is certainly worthy to be praised. Amen. And we're gonna play another song here. As a matter of fact, one of the worship leader that I really love her music, amen, Joanne McFadder, amen, I want to play a song by her, amen, and then we're going to come back and we're going to pray, and we're going to go right into the Word of God. So I want to charge you today, grab your Bibles, amen. We're going to go into a lot of scripture. I want to encourage you to take notes, amen, and just really let's put a demand, on the anointing of God today, amen. I tell you, I pull on my spirit, amen. Put a demand on the anointing that is on my life, amen. Let's begin to boldly declare before the throne room of grace that the God will begin to anoint us with his spirit, amen, that he will begin to pour out his blessing upon us in such a way that we'll be blessed indeed on today. Glory to God. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and get another song up here. Amen. Glory to God.
Light by day, fire by night, I need a resting place. Light by day, fire by night, I need a resting place. Light by day, fire by night, I need a resting place. Light by day, fire by night, I need a resting place. Where can I inhabit? Who can I inhabit?
to share one more announcement real quickly before we go into prayer. Amen. Sometime in July or the first part of August, we're looking to hold our first annual women's conference here in our area. Amen. And if you will, amen, if you've been blessed by our ministry, amen, we're looking to invite in some guests, amen, to join us, amen, as well as speakers from around the country. Amen. It's going to be probably about 3 days. Amen. And we can really use your love offerings. Amen. If our ministry's been a blessing to you over a year or so or a half, amen, we pray that you can that you would consider partnering with us in our efforts to achieve our goals and to invite in some guests, amen, so that we can be able to bless them, amen, as they come in and they bless the people of God in our area, amen. And you know, many of you know me well, amen, that's been a part of the move of God that God has used us to do to establish in the earth. I rarely ever ask for anything, amen, but we got some things that are coming up, and we really would like to, for those that can, to partner with us. Amen. If you can commit to giving $5 a month, amen, $10 a month, amen, $15 a month, or even $20 a month, amen, anything would be a blessing, amen, so that we can continue to do that what God has called us to do, amen, in this time and in this hour. Praise God. Amen. So surely we have some other things that are coming up. We have a ton of invitations to go overseas. Amen. We've been invited to the Philippines in September. Amen. Tickets for both my wife and I are going to cost us close to $1,500. Amen. So, again, if there are actually several churches over there that are already networking with us. Amen. And we're looking to go over there and really begin to bless the people of God over in the Philippine Islands. Amen. And really release such a word, amen, that that the people of God, excuse me, in the Philippines are ready to be mobile, amen, to move and to do what that God has called them to do. As a matter of fact, there are several churches that are having graduations even as we speak. Some are graduating from Bible school, amen, seminaries, amen, and they've already asked for us to just write words of encouragement and send them over to them, so that they can read them during the commencements. And I tell you, I thank God for him giving us the opportunity, just by way of, again, if it had not been for Blog Talk, amen, we probably wouldn't be able to even connect with some of these ministries like we have. So if you can, if the Lord laid on your heart, amen, we pray that you can partner with us in our efforts to continue to build the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's such a static in the phone. Amen. I'm going to release the instrumental here. Amen. As we begin to pray. Amen. And really believe God on today. Amen. If you can, wherever you are. Amen. I want to charge you to begin to pray with us on this afternoon. Amen. Because I really believe the Lord is going to do something awesome. Amen. And he's really going to release us in the atmosphere to do an even greater work. Glory to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you on today, God. We bless your name, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised, God. And we thank you that you have come to sit with us on this afternoon, God. You have come to reign amongst us, God. And for that, we say that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And God, we surrender our hearts to you, God. We surrender our minds, God. We surrender our will, Lord. And we say, let your will be done on today, God. And forevermore, Lord. And Father, I pray that as the word of the Lord begins to go forth on this afternoon, Father, on the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, I pray, God, that an understanding begins to overshadow your people like never before. Lord, I pray that the anointing of God shall overtake them, Father, and shall break every yoke, Father, every bondage, God, every spirit of control, Father. And Lord, I declare and I decree a spirit of prosperity, Father, to begin to fall upon them, as I declare even today, God, that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And Father, we decree right now financial freedom, God, freedom from debt, freedom from lack, and we break the hands of the enemy onto this afternoon, God, and we lift you up and we praise your name in Jesus' name, God. Lord, I release your people now, Father, as to be stewards, God, stewards of the word of the Lord, Father, those that have been infused by the power of God, Lord. I release them into their assignments, God, as an apostle of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God. I release them into their destinies, God. I release them to go forth, Father, and to share the word of God. I release them now, Father, to begin to make full proof of their ministries, God. I release them, God, Father, from the hands of men, Father, that have kept them bound and have kept them shamed, God, have kept them held back, God. I release them now, Father, by the power of God. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, that they even now begin to go forth and do the work of an evangelist, God, that you anoint their hands, God, that you anoint their feet, Lord, and from the crown of their head, Lord, unto the soles of their feet, Father, I release the blessings of God upon their lives in Jesus' name, God. And Lord, I rebuke every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation against this word, against this broadcast on today, against your people. Cover them with your blood in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for the angels of the Lord that has been dispatched across the earth, Father. Even in the archive, Father, I thank you even for those that are listening, Father, at a later date, at a later time, in a later place, God. I thank you right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. I pray that you have your Bibles. Amen, because I definitely want to stir you in the word today. Amen, there's so much information that we're going to cover. Amen. Again, the lesson that we're dealing with is in reference to the resurrection of the dead. Now, as we stated in last week's lesson, one of the things that the church has vicariously got away from is ministering the word of the Lord in the area of foundational doctrine. A lot of our churches have gotten away from preaching sound truths, which means that we've become a generation of believers that have been tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. People can get up and preach anything right now, and folks will say, shout amen, and folks will stand up and shout amen to it and enjoy it, amen, and swear up and down that they heard the truth. But I tell you a truth today, that we're in a season, we're in a time, we're in an age where there are many teachers among us that have not been set before us in the kingdom of God as anointed leaders. Watch this, and I'm not saying that I don't want to, you know, bring down any leaders or say that every leader is bad and I'm the only one with the truth, and I'm not saying that. I don't ever want anyone to catch that and run with that, because that's not what I'm saying. Let me bring clarity. We spoke this on last week. The Apostle Paul was telling the Apostle Timothy, he said, for the time will come, over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, I want y'all to pay close attention to this scripture, because when we've been taught this scripture throughout our time in our walk with Christ, as many as years of many of us have sat in churches and we've set up under anointed leaders that have taught this, the Lord began to share with me something else in this scripture. He says, son, I want to reveal something to you about that scripture. He said, read it again, and I want to read it again for you, God, because I want you to catch this. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves, or shall they draw to themselves, or like fire they shall attach themselves to it, and they shall, after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, what's interesting about the word teachers here is this word teachers. Number one, if you all are real good English students or had been at some point in your life, teachers is plural here, meaning more than one. Some of you have, over the years, have developed more than one teacher that you like to listen to. Come on, somebody. You got several teachers that you will actually go to the television. Some of you have your DVR or your TiVo set to it, where you actually go to the television and you set in motion at the exact time that this particular anointed teacher would come on, and you would listen to them. Watch this. Now, there's nothing wrong with the teacher that you're listening to, but oftentimes what we do is these teachers are the only ones that seem to make our flesh begin to rise, not your spirit. Come on, somebody. You don't listen to nobody else, but you only listen to this particular preacher because this preacher, if something about what they say make your flesh get up and rock and roll a little bit sometimes. I'm finna mess with somebody's religion today. You see, watch this. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There are some very anointed, well-known preachers that come on television that preach good truth. They preach really good word. They preach a word sometimes that will cause you, while you're sitting in your own home, you would actually get up and you would get into the shout with them. But at the same time, there's never an occasion where you hear them preaching doctrine. Sound doctrine. I can tell you right now, 95% of most Pentecostal believers are still struggling with whether they should be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or whether they should be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then there are some that are still confused about the doctrine of the laying on of hands. Because of our religious mindset, and because of some of the places that we've been birthed from in many of our day-to-day traditional religious churches, we're used to a particular formality. We're used to a particular form of godliness. But the Apostle Paul was ministering to his son Timothy. If you back up in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, for such turn away. So we've got so many different types of religions, and then we've got so many different types of teachers, and we got so many different styles of preaching that we have developed a generation or an age of believers that will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust that will preach to them, that will scratch their ears, that thing that they want to hear. See, some of y'all don't want to hear sound truth. Some of y'all don't want to hear sound doctrine. Some of you don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord. You want to hear that if I give $50 on Monday morning, all my bills are going to be paid. Yeah, we got prophets out there. Some of y'all got them on your MySpace page. Come on. There are prophets out there that will prophesy these things, and then they will tell you that this is what the Lord said if you would do this, that, and the other. And so you develop this form of godliness, and you begin to flock to these type of teachers, and you heap to them, you heap yourselves to these type of teachers because you're after something that is a part of your own flesh. Look at this in verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, which means that as long as you're listening to that mess, as long as you are part of it, as long as you connected to it, you're gonna draw yourself into that atmosphere where it's just no truth being taught. There's no power. There's no structure. There's a bunch of fairy tale type preachers teaching you some crazy stuff. They faking the funk when they flowing in wonders and miracles. They ain't no real science. Come on, somebody. He says, but then verse 5, he begins to charge Timothy. He says, but watch thou in all things, not a few things, not some things, not just a here, a little, and there, a little. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. In other words, don't go out there and be fluky like the rest of them. Don't sit up there and try to preach just like Bishop Sue or so-and-so and Apostle this, that, and the other and whoever else you like. Don't mirror your ministry after people that you adore on television. Let the Lord make you an original carbon copy of his glory. Let him stamp his ministerial approval upon your life because you have made full proof of your ministry. You have done that which God has told you to do. Glory to God. My God. Look, let me, I want to get into the lesson because I felt led to go there because we have become an age of believers. And I don't want to say too much of a generation because there are several generations in our age. Amen. But we have become an age of believers that have drawn to ourselves teachers because of our itchy ears. We just want somebody to scratch our ears from time to time. Tell me what I want to hear. Prophesy to me what my office is going to be. Tell me I'm going to be a prophet or a prophetess. Tell me I'm going to be an apostle. I want to hear you tell me that, man or woman of God. Tell me I want to be I'm going to be a great evangelist someday. Tell me how I'm going to minister to millions. That's all you want to hear. You don't want to hear sound truth, sound doctrine. Let me calm down here. Glory to God. This is why there's such a need for us, especially apostles and prophets. The Lord has charged us as leaders, as the governmental leaders of the church, to lay foundation. And the Bible says, and are built upon the foundations of his apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Amen. So we need to begin to understand what is our assignment first in the kingdom as apostles and prophets. Amen. It is your duty. It is your mandate. It is your calling. It is your instruction from the Lord to lay proper foundation in the kingdom of God. And as you begin to ordain elders, it is your duty to charge your elders, amen, to begin to deal with these foundational principles as they instruct the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. So I want to go into the Word of God today. Amen. To the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. We're piggybacking again where we left off at. Amen. We talked about on last Sunday, after death, what? And today, the question is, will I still be me? After you die, will you still be you? Will you still look like who you were? Or will you still be who you were when you're resurrected from the dead? Now, I'm talking to believers here tonight. Amen. Or this afternoon. I'm talking to those that have accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. You have given your life over to the Lord, over to Christ. Amen. You've confessed in your heart, you confess out of your mouth, and you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. And now you're saved. Glory to God, as the word of the Lord declares. Amen. So I'm speaking to the believers today. Will you still be you after you're raised from the dead? You know, I've attended some funerals. I even at one point I assisted and officiated a funeral in Chicago, Illinois. Amen. With my Pastor or Apostle Hinton, some of you may know. Amen. And it actually was my cousin's funeral, and my aunt at the time, she put on his eulogy, and she even published in the papers that this was his homegoing service. And something in my heart never set right with that. I said, well, what do you mean his homegoing service? Number one, now, my cousin, now, I loved him to death. I had a lot of love for him. And many times while we were growing up, I couldn't stand him. Amen. But we were kids. But there were some things that I noticed in his life that he done that was not holy. He was number one. He was one of the heads of the Blackstone gangs, one of the biggest gangs in the Chicagoland area. And number two, he was a real big drug cartel on the south side or the southwest side of Chicago. He had cliques going all over town, and he was running young men. They were running packages for him. So he had lots of money coming in. He was living that big fast time life, and there were even some rumors that he had even raped a young lady. You know, and I'm sharing this information because some of y'all know family that do the same thing. That y'all know that there are individuals in your family, and the heads of those families would be so quick to attach to their eulogy, it's their homegoing service. And then they'll tell you how they were baptized at an early age and they gave their life to the Lord. But everybody know how they live. Come on, somebody. We know that they didn't live a life of holiness. We know they didn't walk upright before the Lord. You know, I'm never one of those leaders that will judge anyone because of drinking and smoking or whatever that case may be. But I'm talking about a lifestyle of holiness that you live according to the Word of God, where your flesh is kept under subjection to the things of God. Watch this. See, this particular instance, we found out that he had raped a young lady, and I mean, he had done some real bad things. There was another instance. His brother, which is also my cousin, was in a really bad motorcycle accident. It was done intentionally. Someone had ran him over, and while he was riding a motorcycle, literally crushing parts of his brain or his skull. And he survived the accident, but when his brother found out, which was the one who passed, found out about what had happened, he took some of his boys. Y'all know how this worked. Hey, man, this is the boys in the hood type stuff. They went and got his boys, and then when they found out who had done it, they went and killed the guy that hurt my other cousin. He was a killer. He was a drug dealer and a killer. This was the kind of life he lived. He was a murderer. Let me share y'all something, because, you know, there were some things that were going on Facebook that I had to comment on in reference to immorality. And it really was disturbing that when I read it, I couldn't believe that there are people that actually believe that there are certain sins that you can do, but you'll get away with it without any consequences. Here, watch this. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Verse 18 says, "But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law." And here, verse 19, this is very important. I want y'all to catch this. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." How much more, you know, it doesn't get no clearer than that. If you're a murderer, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a fornicator, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And let me set the record straight for fornicators, because fornicators also include homosexuals. I don't care how many people go around talking about God don't care nothing about homosexuality and all of these different things that they, excuses that they try to make in reference to this sin, but if you have sex with someone outside of the sanctity of marriage being between a male man and a male female, designed by, in the book of Genesis, in the Word of God, but what the Lord had called, when a man and woman shall leave, or the man shall leave his mother and father, he shall cleave to his wife. This is the union of marriage. The union of marriage is between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. So anyone engaging in sexual activity outside of that union is committing the act of fornication, the act of adultery, and even the act of uncleanness. Glory to God. So I don't care how you look at it, it's fornication. Amen. So here the Bible tells us that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we need to make sure that we got that clear. I don't know how I keep getting off on something else, y'all, today, but we're going to get it to the lesson. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Glory to God. We got to get into this word, because I tell you, it's so much I want to share today. I really feel the unction in my heart for the prophetic today. Amen. And we're definitely going to flow and move in that realm. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Amen. And I want to begin at verse 35. Amen. Verse 35, it says, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of the some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun." Let me back up because I want to make that clear, because I don't want some folks thinking that there are alien bodies out there with plasma and stuff like that. I know some of y'all like Will Smith and Independence Day. Amen. Or the alien resurrection and all of that good stuff. Let me make sure we back up here, because it says here that there are celestial bodies and then there are terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, which means the heavenly body. Amen. And the glory of the terrestrial is another. Amen. So let's make sure we get some clarity there. Amen. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, amen, was made a quickening spirit. You know what? I want to challenge y'all to study the word before I continue to read. Notice the scripture says this. He says, Adam was made a quickening spirit. If you flip over, hold your Bible over there in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going into something else here because I feel the Lord moving here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It says, let me get there because I'm turning a lot of pages here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image, both man male and man female. He both created them." Amen. So look at this. Back over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 45, it says, "And it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit." Here's something. Let me challenge y'all religion again. I want y'all to understand something. Over in Genesis chapter 2, we see where God began to form man of the dust of the ground. In verse 2 and 7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, if y'all was paying attention to last week's teaching, we talked about how man is made up into several parts, both mind, body, and soul. But mind is well. That soulish realm is that mind, and then that spirit man. The spirit man. The Bible says that the spirit of man is like a candlelight unto the Lord. Look at this. When God began to create man, he began to design an order. When he formed the dust of the earth around the man. Oh, glory to God. I'm sharing some revelation here because I don't want y'all to get caught up in religion. Adam was not the first man created, but he was the first man formed from the dust of the ground. There were already men and women present, but God began to form form man, the first man, Adam, in the earthly suit, by the dust that was formed from the ground. Okay, so y'all got that. I want y'all to understand that. And that's when he began to breathe the breath of life inside of his nostrils, and he became a living soul. He began to function as a human being, as a man in the earth. Okay, let's finish reading over in 1 Corinthians chapter 46. It says, chapter 15, verse 46, it says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. This is a principle for everything that is governed in the earth. I want y'all to mark that in your scripture, highlight it, circle it, whatever you have to do. But that particular scripture that I just read to you is a strategic principle that governs the earth. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Okay, verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Amen. So let's stop right there. Amen. We're going to get off into those other scriptures a little later. We're going to stop reading right there. So we're going to go right into the lesson. Amen. As y'all know, we're teaching from the book by James Lee Bell. Amen. It's titled Laying the Foundation, Achieving Christian Maturity. Amen. So if you did not get a chance to listen to last week's lessons, again, I charge you to go back and listen to last week's and then come back and listen to this one again. Amen. I guarantee you'll be blessed, amen, by the word of the Lord that's coming forth on today. Praise God. What is resurrection? Resurrection is a rising of life again after death, but it's more than that. It is also the beginning of glorification, or the changing of the physical body to share in the glorious redemption provided for the whole man by Christ. Watch this. The most common Greek word for resurrection is anastasis, or which simply means to make to stand or rise up. Several aspects of resurrection must be emphasized if we are to distinguish this truth from a subtle error which would substitute some watered-down idea. Amen. Watch this. Resurrection is the personal restoration of the individual to life. After the body and the soul and spirit have been separated by death, even if the body has already decomposed, God reunites these things. He brings the soul and the spirit all in the body all back together again. Amen. This is resurrection. And then the person's own identity is restored, including memory, recognition, and the ability to communicate, etc. Anything that you were able to do when you were alive, when you become resurrected in Christ, you'll be able to do that again. You'll still have mobility. You'll still have movement. You'll still be able to communicate. You'll even remember what you did while you were here on the earth. Now, you know, even for those, you know, I think some of our questions for many of us is if there's some disabilities, if you are missing a limb, or you're missing a tooth, or if you didn't have hearing, or you may have died because you had lung cancer or something of that nature. God begins to restore all these things back to you when you're resurrected from the dead. Here, let's read another scripture. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 19. Amen. The book of Job, chapter 19. Amen. That's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. For some of y'all, amen. Esther, Job, Psalms. Glory to God. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 25 through 27. Praise God. Amen. Job, chapter 19, verse 25 through 27, and it reads, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." So that's important that we understand that, that we understand that no matter what condition that our bodies is in, once we've died and we've gone on, you know, there are people that have been thrown into the sea, been eaten by sharks, those sharks have died. You know, there are those that have been entombed inside of a ground somewhere, or wherever they have been, or some have even been what we call cremated. You know, it was a custom in the early world where they would cremate everybody. They in some cases they had no choices because the bodies were stink. And they didn't bury them. They didn't know anything about entombing them in the 6 feet under or anything of that nature. So they would burn the bodies, and so these are things the Bible says we talked about last week, that our bodies will return to the ground from ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Many of you that's been to a funeral, and many of you have even some leaders that have officiated funerals and even at the burials, you know that when you commit the body to the ground, you commit the body to the ground by reciting from ashes to ashes and dust to dust. You know, these are things that we understand, amen, during the process of death. Resurrection involves the reinfusion of life into a real corpse, resulting in the rising up to life of a literal body. Now, we are not talking about reviving someone that's supposed to be dead, or someone we supposed to be dead, but was only unconscious. We are not talking about the renewal of someone in suspended animation. We are declaring that people who are unmistakably dead can experience the reversal of the process of corruption, and by God's intervention, be raised from the dead. Luke 24:39, it says, "Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones as we see that me have." You know, it's interesting because last week, thank God for Dr. G, amen, and one in Shalom that was present with us on the show last week. There was a slight disagreement down in the chat room as to whether or not when Jesus appeared after his resurrection, did the disciples, did they touch him? Amen. And then this is one of the scriptures that we went to in reference to what we were teaching at the time. Look, resurrection is the redemption of our bodies. God changes our bodies to correspond with the nature of our redeemed spirit and soul. While the body we receive in the resurrection will be unmistakably our own, it will not be the same frail frame we bury. Let me say that again. I want y'all to catch hold of that. Resurrection is the redemption of our bodies. God changes our bodies to correspond with the nature of our redeemed spirit and soul. While the body we receive in resurrection will be unmistakably, let's say that again, will be unmistakably our own, it will not be the same frail frame we bury. So that goes back again. You know, some folks may have died from diseases that really ate at their flesh. Where you know some of you know you hear the comment from relatives that say it probably was best because that cancer was really eating away at her body or his body. They really were in bad shape. It's, you know, the Bible even says, I forget where that scripture is, I'll find it later, but it talks about how God delivers some of us because some people are so engulfed in pain and death that they would literally, because of so much pain, they would blame God and would stop serving him if they lived in that type of pain for too long of a time. So God will literally allow death to come over us and remove us from the earth because of these particular situations. Excuse me. Look at this. It will have been changed by the power of God and fashioned like his own. The limitations which cramped our spirits and soul will be removed. Our bodies will appropriately express the person we have become. Watch this. If we can, go to Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Y'all know when you come back here, we get in the Word. Glory to God. It's necessary that we go through the Word. Amen. I know that there are teachers that get up in church services and they'll preach a whole services and nobody will open up the Word of God, and they'll recite scriptures left and right, and people still be blessed. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Y'all notice I'm dragging with that. Amen. But I think it's important that we show people in the Word where we're coming from. The Bible says, and y'all hear me say this all the time, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which means that we look at the word, we read the word, we hear the word, and then we do the word. Amen. So it's important that we bring the people to the word of God. Amen. As it bears witness for what we teach and what we preach. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. And it reads, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Glory to God. Thank God for death in some cases. Because some of us will never have enough faith while living here on the earth to believe God to totally restore our bodies, to really heal us from some unnatural diseases that have come upon us, or from some incidents that have occurred in our life that caused our body to be mangled, or has called us to step into arenas where we just cannot seem to come to a complete 100% body. Diseases and sickness took over us to the point of death. But thank God for resurrection, that when we're resurrected, God instantly and simultaneously changes us. We're not the same anymore. Our bodies become perfect like him. Let's go a little further. What will our resurrection bodies be like? The Bible provides two basic sources for information regarding our resurrected bodies. Number one, the example of Jesus' resurrected body described in the Gospels and Acts. Number two, the descriptions by analogy in the Apostle Paul's letters to the Corinthians. By combining these two pieces of examples together with this information, we derive a good picture of what we can expect. So let's study this a little bit further. Jesus' resurrection body was both the same and yet different from his mortal body. Let's look at some examples. Jesus' resurrected body was without the limitations of his mortal body. He could appear at will, he could pass through walls, and etc. There's something about even while we're living and we're present now, even in the kingdom of God, there's something about the expansion or the frequency that we walk into when we allow God to come in, or we allow ourselves to come into God in worship and through prayer, that he begins to change the bandwidth or the frequency upon our life. We move into a different arena or into a different dimension, that we become glorified like Christ even while we're here in the earth. We'll get off into that a little later. I don't want to blow y'all mad. Let's stick with this verse. Amen. Jesus' facial appearance was sufficiently changed that his closest friends did not immediately recognize him, but other personal characteristics identified him as the same person. Number three, Jesus' body was not ethereal, but tangible and visible. People touched him, they saw him, they heard him, and he ate with them. Amen. He said, matter of fact, he made mention that he was just flesh and bones. He didn't have no blood. Wasn't no blood running through his body anymore. But he was hungry. He wanted to eat. His body was still functioning. Number four says, Jesus continued where he had left off in his teaching. He had remembered what he promised was and what he had and had not accomplished in the I'm sorry, y'all. Give me a second here. In his instructing his disciples. He met them in Galilee as he had promised before his death. Evidently, memory was not impaired. So we draw from this example of Jesus' resurrection as opposed to our own someday. He still had his memory. He picked up where he left off at. He kept teaching his disciples just like if he was. He never left. Amen. And he still continued to flow and encourage them to believe in the promise that he had already left for them. It behooves me. I wonder how the disciples probably felt when Jesus had died, and how all the things that they had gone through and reference to his death. You look at the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter had denied the Lord three times. That had to hurt. That had to hurt because the first thing, Jesus told him he would do it. He didn't realize he was doing it until after he did it. So here it is, his master, his Lord and Savior had passed away. And all he could think of is how he lied to him, and he went on. My God. Some of you got relatives that you made promises to that you said that, Mama, I'm going to preach. Grandmama, I'm going to preach the gospel no matter what, and I'm going to do it. And you've made these promises with them when they were at their deathbed, and you still haven't fulfilled that promise yet. I charge you today as an apostle of God, as a minister of the gospel of the kingdom, that if you've made vows before someone before they passed on, and you made those vows before heaven and before God, I charge you as an apostolic officer today to go and fulfill that which God told you to do. Glory to God. I charge you to do it. Don't sway to the left or to the right. Amen. Set your face like a flint and go and do what you said you were going to do. Amen. Here, let's look at another point here. Paul's analogies from natural things also help us to see the simplicity and the naturalness of the transitional process involved in resurrection. Here's the first analogy Paul gives. He describes the body like a seed which is planted and must die in order to bring forth a new form of life. It is the same seed, but its life is different in manifestation. We cannot trace the continuity of his life as we can with the seed, but the scriptures tell us that so also is the resurrection of the dead. The green shoot coming forth from the ground may bear no resemblance to the seed that was planted. Neither may the new body physically resemble the one we now have, but it will be the continuity of our inward life in his resurrected material manifestation. And we read that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 35-42. Let's confirm that word. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Glory to God. Matthew, Mark, amen. For some of y'all that's struggling with the word there, go to Mark. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And I'm going to read through 28. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise not in day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. You know, I don't know if y'all maybe live in a city or a region like I do. You know, I live in a pretty big city, but on my way to work, I drive through cornfields and different surroundings where harvests and seeds are being planted and growing. And right now they're in the season of planting corn, amen. And the first thing that you begin to see bud forth out of the ground is the blades. So you know we look at this also as a point of resurrection, because that seed, when it goes into the ground, it begins to bud forth. And, you know, and it's awesome that the analogy that Paul uses is almost the same analogy in sowing and reaping in the kingdom. Here, look at this, the second point he gives. He says, Paul pictures our mortal body as a very temporary tent dwelling. A tent is very easily taken down, folded up, and moved to another place. In direct contrast, our resurrection body will be our permanent house. Y'all got that? Our resurrected body will be our permanent house. Here, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is God good today? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, amen, in verses 1 through 4, it reads, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we would have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be clothed or unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So here, that right there, that is important. Amen. I hope that, because a lot of times when some of us are reading the Bible, we really don't get a clear understanding. This is why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. And you see a picture right here that Paul gives about our mortal body being as a temporary tent dwelling, or in reference to a tabernacle. It's temporary. Everything you know, the old folks used to call it your shell or your earthly suit. That's what it is. Number three point he gives is that Paul describes the body in terms of external clothing. We take off and put on. When we die, we are separated from this outward covering. But God goes not, or leave us disembodied or naked. He provides an immortal covering. So we put on, even though our original covering begins to be resurrected. When it's resurrected, like we said, it becomes new. It becomes fashioned like that of God. It puts on a whole nother persona, amen, with our personality or with our individuality, and it takes on a glorious form. Here, let's look at another one. Here's another question. Will our resurrected bodies be an improvement on our present ones? That's a good question. Will our resurrected bodies be an improvement on our present ones? Yes, yes, yes. God will give us brand new bodies, which will be far better than our present mortal bodies. Come and get a witness, y'all, because I tell you, ain't nothing like having a new body. I know, you know, they say the older you get, the slower you get, or your body begins to go through changes. Some of us go through that process when even we can't eat the same foods because of the older we get. We need more green in our system. Amen. You know, I notice the difference. You know, the closer you get to 40, amen. Even when you turn 30, your body changes. Instantly just changes. You know, some athletes, their bodies go through changes, even when they're in good shape. So we thank God that he gives us brand new bodies. Amen. Let's look. They will be more appropriately, or they will more appropriately express the spiritual treasure within. Paul gave us some important contrasts in 1 Corinthians 35 and 53, which we read already. Our new body will be incorruptible. Sickness and age weaken the mortal body until it collapses or death may come suddenly. But the resurrection body will be free from the trend to deterioration. Our body will be powerful. Come on, somebody. Our new bodies will be powerful. We are sown in weakness, and we spend our whole lifetime aware of our human limitations. Our bodies are not equal to our minds, but in resurrection they will be. Glory to God. So if you in your mind right now, if you think you still can do what you used to do when you were 18 and 19 or 20, glory to God. Some of y'all still are. Y'all just turning 18, 19, and 20. Amen. Amen. Your body and your mind will align itself just like you think, and you'll be able to do like you're thinking in your new body. Our new body will be spiritual. Our new body will be spiritual. Now, let's check this out. For those that flow in an apostolic and prophetic anointing that operate in signs, wonders, and miracles, this definitely applies to you already if you understand anything about the kingdom. But let me share this. This does not mean that our new body will be ghostly or intangible. It will be a suitable medium for expressing our finest aspirations and spiritual qualities. It will be perfectly adapted to its new environment. The spirit will once more be in control over the soul and body, as was the case before the fall of Adam. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's awesome, ain't it? That is awesome. Our new body will be heavenly. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't we share that earlier? Amen. Jesus' resurrecting body had flesh and bone, but not blood. But not blood. Remember we said that earlier? We talked about that last week. And this mortal life, the life is in the blood. In the resurrection body, the spirit will contain the life. Glory to God. That's why it's so important that even as leaders, when you're ministering under the anointing of God, you're ministering through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because through the leading of the Holy Spirit, it brings life. It resurrects that which is dead in the congregation. It moves the people into new dimensions. It causes the praises to be resurrected. It causes the worship to be resurrection. Everything begins to come to life when we begin to minister under the resurrection power of God through the anointing that is flowing out of our spirits. Glory to God. That's why we have to be, the Bible says that
those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. We have to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Glory to God. How can we be sure God will give us a resurrected body? If we are in Christ, we have received a guarantee. Chuku, y'all know how they stamp those guarantees on those boxes, or you receive a guaranteed notice stamped on a contract or anything of that nature. Once you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, you have given your life to Christ. Again, you confess with your mouth, you believed in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, and now you're saved. You receive a stamp, a guaranteed stamp of approval that one day, if you die before the return of Christ, you will receive a new, renewed body. Glory to God. When you're resurrected from the dead, you receive a new body. Glory to God. God has already given us the earnest or the down payment of his Holy Spirit, which guarantees that the rest of the inheritance will follow. Amen. God is not a God that he shall lie. Amen. Amen. He's not. Not at all. The earnest or the word for the Greek word arabon, A-R-R-A-B-O-N, is the initial down payment which guarantees both that the complete inheritance will be given and that the remainder will be the same good quality as the down payment. The redemption of our body is clearly a part of our inheritance. Amen. Here, let's look at a few more scriptures here, and we're going to close this out in just a minute. We got a few more things to cover. I may have to piggyback up off of this on next week. Amen, because this is a good lesson. Now, we got about 39 minutes remaining. We might be able to close it out. Amen. Amen. Paul elaborated the function of the Holy Spirit as our earnest or guarantee in his letter to the Ephesians, where he wrote, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." That's Ephesians 1:13 and 14. So in this passage, the Holy Spirit is pictured both as a seal and as an earnest, doubly emphasizing his work in giving us security and a guarantee. There's a quote by Barclay Apley says, "The Spirit of Christ is a first installment of the life to come." That's why it's important for us to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who will lead us and guide us through all truth. It is the Holy Spirit that will keep you from fulfilling the works of the flesh. It is the Holy Spirit that will cause the anointing of God to come upon your life to break yokes. It is the Holy Spirit that will flow out of your bellies like rivers of living water. It is the Holy Spirit that will cause you to move in signs and wonders and miracles. It is the Holy Spirit that will cause the life of Christ, the resurrection power of God, to come through you and out of you and into others so that others can be blessed. Glory to God. We will know one another after death and resurrection. Will we know one another after death and resurrection? All right. Now, let's look at this, because this is probably one of the biggest questions ever. We are not concerned about theory. We want to know what is going to happen to us. We will still be the same persons we are now. Will we remember what happened to us in this life and continue after death? Will the friendships we build in this life continue through eternity? What we are really asking is, does resurrection mean that we will continue to have personal identity? Amen. Will personality survive the grave? Thank God the Bible gives us an emphatic yes. In answer to those questions, many evidences are provided throughout Scripture for the continuity of our individual identity. Jesus Christ has always been the same person, though in different bodily form. Here, look at this. Jesus Christ has always been the Son of God with his unique personality. He was a pre-incarnated Word with the Father before creation and until he came to earth as a baby. We read that in John chapter 1 through 14. He lived among us in a limited human body for 33 years. Then he was crucified, died, buried, and was raised from the dead with a new body. Resurrection had made some changes, but he was still the same Jesus that they had known. He picked up his disciples where he had left off and continued his preparation of them to be his witnesses. Jesus remained the same person through all his changes, and so shall we. Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Y'all know that scripture, Hebrews 13 and 8. Glory to God. Amen. So here, let's note something here. The Greek word for the same means one's very self or unchangeable. Revelations 1:18, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Glory to God. Job asked and answered his own question about the continuance of personality. Personality means being a real person, being yourself and not somebody else. Amen. Ain't that what we talked about at the beginning of the exhortation on this program? You have individual existence with unique personal characteristics. The total combination of characteristics which mark you as you and to distinguish you from anybody else is your personality. Now listen to Job's question and answer. Here, let's go to the book of Job. Let's look at that. Job chapter 14. I think that's important that we look at that. Everybody always listen to the story of Job as Job just being a big old dude pouting, knowing he was being tested by God and he was going to be blessed. I think the mere fact that we know that God blessed him at the end of the story encourages us throughout the entire story. Amen. But what we don't realize is that God was using Job in so many different dimensions that his life, in reference to everything that happened, ministered to us. Amen. Let's look at verse 25. Now, let's go to Job. I'm sorry, Job 14. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Job 14 and 14. And we're going to read 14 and verse 15. And it reads, Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. And verse 17, I'm sorry, verse 15 says, I'm reading ahead of myself. I'm sorry, y'all. Let's back up. Job 14, 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. So it was something about, even in those times, they all knew that there was going to be a resurrection someday. As a matter of fact, Mary made mention to Jesus before Lazarus was raised from the dead that we knew that there was going to be a resurrection. But all the while, Jesus was telling him that I am the resurrection. He was letting her know, I am the resurrection. He was revealing to them who I am was. Here, let's look at the rest of this. In Job chapter 19, let's go there. Job 19 and verses, let's see where we're going to go from there. Job 19, and we're going to read verses 25 through 27. And it reads, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, amen, which we read earlier, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And thou after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So he's telling us here, he says, what else could be clear? Job would be himself. Note to that the Hebrews consider the reins the kidneys. Kidneys is another word for reins, as the seat of a personhood, especially in our ability to make choices. Job has clearly prophesied the continuance of his ability to respond in personal ways, to recognize others, and to make decisions. Lazarus did the same thing. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he did the same thing. I believe he sat down and with Jesus when they were at Mary Martha's house and they began to discuss what was going on inside of Job or Lazarus' heart or his spirit while he was in the tomb for 4 days. Here, let's look at this. Jesus compared resurrection life to that of the angels. Angels are individual spirit beings. They have definite or definite identity and are not confused with one another. A few of them have names recorded in scriptures: Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer,
etc. There are other angels with other names. There's a role angel. There's goodness and mercy. There are so many different angels with names that are mentioned in the Bible. They have personality. Amen. They have personality. And here, let's look at this. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." You'll find that in Matthew 22, 29, and 30. Paul stated that our resurrected bodies will have different glories. The same God who created us with different bodies and personalities in the first place will give us a new body as it pleases him, one that fits our own personality. The God who makes makes every single snowflake different and every blade of grass different will not suddenly decide to make us all alike in resurrected bodies. Paul said, here, let's look at this. We read this earlier. I'll say this scripture again. He says, "But God giveth a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." So there are only a few of the many scriptures which teach the continuity of personality. We will not only know each other as we did here, but more so, Paul says, we will know as we are known with perfect knowledge. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. We will know with perfect knowledge who we are. So that's going to conclude to this afternoon's lesson right there. Amen. I bless the Lord for all of you. Amen. Again, to join us today. Amen. I tell you, that was a part two. Amen. Last week, if you missed last week, you want to go back and listen. These are some important teachings. Amen. Like I said before, there are a lot of leaders, even believers, that don't even understand the resurrection of the dead. I can't even tell you how many leaders have emerged on the scene in the last few years that have never had any biblical training in foundational studies. And it's important that we get hold of the people of God and we impart truths into their spirit, amen, and release them properly and for ministry. It's important that we catch hold of what the Lord is saying in the Word, amen, and understand clearly that God wants us to not leave here having no knowledge of any doctrine, not knowing how to baptize, not knowing about laying on the hands, not knowing how to have faith toward God, not knowing what it takes to have repentance, amen, and all of the various things that the doctrine of the scriptures declare, amen, amen, praise God, praise God. We have, amen, 28 minutes remaining in the program. And I am going to open up the lines. If you want to call in, please feel free to do so. The phone number is 646-716-9487. Amen. 646-716-9487. Glory to God. That's 646-716-9487. Amen. I'm going to play a song, and I'm going to come back. We're going to pray. Amen. And then we're going to allow the Lord to move mightily in signs and wonders. Amen. If you need a prophetic word from the Lord, amen, go ahead, call in. Amen. Pull on the anointing today. Pull on it, pull on it, pull on it. Amen. Put a demand on the anointing of God. Amen. And we'll love to talk with you. Amen. If you have a testimony you want to share, amen, feel free to call in. 646-716-9487.
With a holy visitation.
County, Allah. I wish I had a shofar tonight. My God. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're gonna go ahead and we're going to get ready to do some personal ministry here on this afternoon. Amen. I pray that you were blessed by the lesson. Amen. And truly that God touched many of you in the areas of your study. Amen. Where you've been trusting the Lord to reveal his mysteries to you. Amen. And to clear some things up. We're going to continue with the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead on not next Sunday, but the Sunday after next. As a matter of fact, I won't be in town next Sunday. Amen. But on the next following Sunday, we're going to pick up with the title of Many Infallible Proofs. I'm sorry. My wife just told me I can't do it that Sunday either. That's Father's Day. Praise God. So it'll be the next following Sunday after that. Amen. So 2 weeks from today, amen, we'll return back to Blog Talk. Amen. And we'll continue with Many Infallible Proofs. That's Many Infallible Proofs. So I want to welcome y'all to come back as we continue this lesson. And again, feel free to go back and listen to these two teachers in the program, because there's so much information there that so that you don't feel overwhelmed. You'll have time to sit and study because it's recorded in the archive, and I'm almost confident the Lord will bless you. Amen. In those trainings. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up the lines in just a few minutes again. If you want to call in, the phone number is 646-716-9487. That's 646-716-9487. Glory to God. 646-716-9487. I just feel led in my spirit to minister prophetically. And we have exactly 18 minutes remaining in the program. I am going to go over that 18 minutes, so we won't stream live. But if you are on the phone, you'll be able to hear. And I'm going to move quickly once I get started, because I feel a burst. I feel a thrust in the spirit. Once I go in, it's going to be a charge. Amen. And we're going to be in and out quickly. Praise God. So if you want to call in, again, 646-716-9487. Praise God. Praise God. Wednesday nights, this Wednesday night, we'll be back on Pile Talk in the Joseph Company Global Kingdom Alliance room. Amen. I'm going to ask Max, if he could put that information in the room for us. Amen. But we're going to be back on Pile Talk for our Wednesday night training. I titled those trainings really Kingdom Leadership Training, because we have a lot of leaders that are not properly identified with their ministry gift offices in the kingdom. And we've been doing a lot of teaching in the last 2 months in reference to leadership as well as leadership or leadership. Amen. So that's leadership, S-H-I-F-T, and then there's leadership, S-H-I-P. Amen. And leadership means to come from one place or one dimension of a calling to the next and move you where you're supposed to be. I can always tell a true apostle or a true prophet when I'm sitting underneath their teaching, depending on how they word their messages, how they flow, how they move in the gifts, and how they conduct themselves amongst God's people. I can quickly begin to discern exactly what office they walk in. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of people have been ordained to offices, have attached titles to their name, and that's not really where they're supposed to be. And we miss the move of God in our own personal lives when we're not where we're supposed to be. God will use you. He will use you. Amen. God will speak. He will speak through a donkey. He'll use anybody he want to use to get his point across, to get his word across, to get that which he needs spoken into the earth. He will use you. But the Bible then again declares that not everybody that say Lord, Lord, come on somebody. So we have to make sure that we're properly identified with where we're supposed to be in the kingdom. You know, and then there are, we talked about those fluky prophets. They like to prophesy to people that what they are and what they're going to be. You know, we never confirm anybody into an office until there's been another company of mature prophets that can also back up with that what we confirm. Amen. Glory to God. So 646-716-9487. We're going to continue to trust the Lord. Amen. Like I said, we're going to move quickly here. Amen. In the prophetic. And I sense in my spirit that even in the word of knowledge, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, wherever you are, just lift your hands up and begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We bless you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. Lift our hands to you. We bless you. We bless you, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's someone that's listening right now. You've been following the teaching on today, and you were really blessed by the word of the Lord that came forth. Amen. And there were some things that really touched your heart in reference to the being born again or being resurrected from the dead. There were many questions that you had, but there are more questions inside of you. And the Bible says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. You've been attending a well-known local church in your area. The word of God is preached with simplicity, amen, but the type of teaching that you're receiving, it tends to, at times, it scratches the ears, and God wants to begin to move you and set you in a place where there are strong believers that will pour into you. There are people that will assemble themselves where the Holy Spirit has literally drawn them into one place on one accord, and it's going to cause you to begin to mature in the things of God. I'm not sure who that is, amen, but the Lord is getting ready to empower you in such a way where the word of God will become much clearer to you. Amen. Whoever that is, just lift your hands. I don't know if you're listening live or if you're in an archive, but the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you now. Amen. God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit upon you. Amen. You're going to be filled with the presence of God. Even my Father God, I thank you right now for the power of God that has fallen upon that individual's life. Even now, Father, we breathe. Father, we breathe the breath of life right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We breathe the breath of life, Father, upon them, Father. Resurrect everything that is dead within them, Father. Quicken their hearts. Quicken their spirit, God, right now, by the anointing of God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. Now, God, everything that is in their way, Father, every obstacle, Father, every distraction, Father, we spiritually remove it now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I cancel the assignment of the enemy right now, and I declare and I decree that the path of righteousness is open. Let the freedom of the Lord begin to flow forth now upon their lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have the lines open. God bless you. Amen. 812 area code 757 and 706. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. 706 area code 756. I'm sorry, 757 and 812 area codes. You all on the line. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to call in? Again, the phone number is 646-716-9487. Again, 646-716-9487. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. There's someone that's listening also. You're suffering from chest pains. It's just chest pains. It's not your blood pressure, but there's a pressure, amen, in your upper, I want to say your upper left chest area. Amen. The power of God's coming upon you now. Amen. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost is breaking that pain that is in your left chest area. Your upper left chest area. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the anointing, God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Is there anyone else? Amen. I got all the callers on the line. Y'all can speak up anytime. Praise God.
Yes, God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Who am I speaking with?
Charlotte Baker, calling from Columbus, Georgia.
God bless you, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine, sir.
Amen. Amen. Did you have any special prayer requests today?
No, sir. I was actually listening to the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
I mean, well, anybody? I love prayer, but it wasn't nothing, you know, special.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Praise God. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. There are several emerging leaders that is listening to me now. Some of you are not listening live, but you're in the archive. There are several emerging leaders, and that means that if you just stepped into ministry, you've just been ordained recently, if you just received a ministerial license, that means you're emerging. And I'm hearing the Lord saying that your fathers have abandoned you. Your fathers have abandoned you. Your apostolic fathers, your overseers, your spiritual mentors have abandoned you. The Lord is saying that he's filling the gap. He's standing in the gap for you now. He's interceding on your behalf. He's getting ready to come between that has been made or put asunder. God's going to begin to restore and heal relationships. He's getting ready to mend broken hearts. He's restoring the years of the cankerworm and the pommel worm and the locusts have taken and eaten. God is getting ready to infuse you with life again. Life between individuals, life between loved ones, life between those that have turned their backs on you and those that have disconnected themselves. And the Bible says, blessed are those, amen. Let me read that scripture because it's actually been one of my favorites as of lately. In Luke chapter 6, glory to God, let me pull that up. Over in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, it says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you And when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. I hear the Lord saying, not only have you been blessed because of disconnections and because of separation and because of many of those that have hated on you, but God is saying he's going to begin to restore those relationships. He said he's preparing a table in the presence of your enemies. Glory to God. God is literally, for many of you, he's preparing a table in the presence of your enemies, and he's getting ready to show forth his glory on your behalf. Glory to God. Everybody that said you couldn't do it, and those that said that you wasn't going to make it, those that said that you were not going to be a part of this move or that move and did not believe in you, that did not encourage you but turned their backs on you, God says, blessed are ye. He said, blessed are ye. And this is the time now that those that came against you will return back to you, and they will begin to ask for forgiveness. They will begin to ask you to cover them. They will ask you to pray for them, and they will know that it is I, says the Lord, that has sent you, that has made you, that has brought you to a place of fruition, that has brought you to a place of destiny, that have set you into a place of triumph and a place of victory, says the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. We bless your name, God. Bless your name, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. The Lord said that there are several of you also that are listening, amen, that have yet to be confirmed, that have yet to been placed in a place of servanthood, that have been yet to be recognized as being a ministerial gift in the house, amen. And God is now beginning to put you in a place where you're going to be recognized by great men. The Bible says that that your gift would make room for you, and it will bring you amongst great men. And the Lord is saying now that the people will begin to know who you are. For great shall your name be in the earth, and you shall be one that will begin to come forth, and you will be one that will begin to minister in areas that nobody would go to. He says, where I called men to go to and I've sent men to go, they did not go. And the Lord is saying he's going to sit them down in this hour, and he's going to call forth those that are not afraid, those that don't have the spirit of fear, because I, the Lord your God, have not given you the spirit of fear, but a spirit to love, a spirit to deal with the people that are hurt, a spirit to deal with the people that are in pain, a spirit of long suffering, a spirit of peace, a spirit of kindness, a spirit of joy. He said, I send you forth now as an anointed apostolic citizen, a kingdom citizen in the earth, to deal with the things that be that does not glorify the Lord, says God. Glory to God. I hear the Lord saying, rise up. Some of you that have been sitting back and being complacent and trying to figure out where your place is in this world, trying to figure out where your place is in the earth as a minister, I hear the Lord say, rise up. Rise up. Rise up above your expectations. Don't put limitations on God. Don't put God inside of a box, but rise up. Rise up. Arise, says the Lord. Arise. Begin to set your face like a flint. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share this word too, and this is a general word for many leaders. Amen. The Lord is saying that we're going to go through a season, and actually the season has already begun, where there are going to be a lot of local churches that are going to literally shut down. Some of you have already seen this even in your own cities. There are a lot of local churches that are shutting down. The judgment of God is in the house of prayer. And the Lord is saying that he didn't just shut them down because they didn't have money, because they couldn't pay the bill. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And God is not pleased. Shikando boko rabahata. God is not pleased with how we conduct ourselves in our faith toward God. He's not pleased with where we are in our spirit. And many of us have become totally void of understanding. We have lost our ability to understand God's word, because we would rather hear Oprah, or we would rather hear Maury Povich, or we would rather hear Jerry Springer, or we would rather hear CNN News, and we would rather hear Barack Obama. We would rather hear all of these different people rather than to trust in God's word. So now God is not pleased because we've lost our faith in him. We've turned our trust away from God. Glory to God. Father God, I pray tonight, Lord, that those that are listening under the sound of my voice, Lord, that they take heed to the word of knowledge that has gone forth, God. And Lord, I pray that every individual, God, is covered by your blood. Father, I rebuke the spirit of fables because of false teachers, Lord. I rebuke the spirit of itchy ears, God, because of false teachers, Lord. I cancel the assignment of the enemy today, Father, against your people. We drive back the hands of the enemy today, God. And Lord, I call forth your glory now in the earth. As it is in heaven, so let it shall be in the earth, God. Let your kingdom come, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I call those things that be not as though they were by the anointing and the power of God. And we claim victory right now for your people, God. Victory over their emotions, victory over their disappointments, victory over their tribulations, Father, victory over their distresses, God, victory over their sadness, God, victory over their pain, God, victory over their sickness, God, victory in their families, victory on their jobs, victory in every place of their life, God. We declare and we decree the victory of God today, Father, in Jesus' name. And I speak it forth now in the earth by the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Just before I close, I did want to acknowledge all of those that were still remaining down in the chat room. We thank God for you. Amen. We're not streaming live anymore. Amen. We got a few callers that's left on there. God bless you. If you guys still want to have any last words, amen, before we hang up, amen, we thank God for you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If not, amen, we're going to go ahead and pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for another live segment here on Kingdom Voices. Father, I bless you for each and every one that was a part of the show today, God, and even for those that will come in the archive again. Lord, I thank you right now for the anointing and power of God, Father, and for the privilege to be able to minister to your people. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless us in our going out and bless us on our return, Lord. For we are the head, not the tail, and we are above and not beneath, God. And I thank you for total restoration for your people, Father. Let them now, Father, have the anointing to recover all, for Father. I speak it, and I declare it in the earth in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. And Father, bless us on our week until we return again in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Y'all have a good evening. God bless you. Good night. We love you. Amen. Bye-bye.